Warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous readings or healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 435 from the Christian Science Hymnal. And this is from a poem written by Mary Baker Eddy called Love.
Thou to whose far our hope we give, free us from human strife. Fed by thy love divine we live, for love alone is life, and life most sweet as heart to heart speaks kindly when we meet and part.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. Topic of today's readings is, Be My Valentine, Says God. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, as well as correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. From the Bible, starting with Genesis, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. The servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. The man, wondering at her, held his peace. and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is the room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And the man came into the house, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And they said, We'll call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Song of Solomon. Behold, thou art fair, my love. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. The Book of Ruth. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Song of Solomon. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. 1 Samuel. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. And David sent and communed with Abigail, to take her to him to wife. And Abigail hasted and arose, and rode upon an ass, with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David, and became his wife. Song of Solomon. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now from St. Luke. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And now from Hosea and Isaiah. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, he shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou hast refused, saith thy God. From St. Matthew and John and 2 Corinthians. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Greet one another with an holy kiss. Song of Solomon. Thou art beautiful, O my love. Now correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. It is related in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel that Jesus was once the honored guest of a certain Pharisee by the name Simon, though he was quite unlike Simon the disciple. While they were at meat, an unusual incident occurred, as if to interrupt the scene of Oriental festivity. A strange woman came in. She bore an alabaster jar of containing costly and fragrant oil, sandal oil, perhaps, which is in such common use in the East. Breaking the sealed jar, she perfumed Jesus' feet with the oil, wiping them with her long hair, which hung loosely about her shoulders, as was customary with women of her grade. Did Jesus spurn the woman? Did he repel her adoration? No, he regarded her compassionately. Which of them will love him most, was the master's question to Simon the Pharisee. Simon replied, He to whom he forgave most. Jesus approved the answer, and so brought home the lesson to all, following it with that remarkable declaration to the woman, Thy sins are forgiven. Which was the higher tribute to such ineffable affection? The hospitality of the Pharisee, or the contrition of the Magdalene? This query Jesus answered by rebuking self-righteousness and declaring the absolution of the penitent. He even said that this poor woman had done what his rich entertainer had neglected to do, wash and anoint his guest's feet, a special sign of Oriental courtesy. If Christian scientists are like Simon, then it must be said of them also that they love little. On the other hand, do they show their regard for truth or Christ by their genuine repentance, by their broken hearts, expressed by meekness and human affection, as did this woman? Human affection is not poured forth vainly, even though it meet no return. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. The wintry blasts of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds, but this severance of fleshly ties serves to unite thought more closely to God, for love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world and begins to unfold its wings for heaven. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish, therefore it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Marriage is the legal and moral provision for generation among humankind. Until the spiritual creation is discerned intact, is apprehended and understood, and his kingdom has come, as in the vision of the Apocalypse, where the corporeal sense of creation was cast out and its spiritual sense was revealed from heaven, marriage will continue, subject to such moral regulations as will secure increasing virtue. Union of the masculine and feminine qualities constitutes completeness. The masculine mind reaches a higher tone through certain elements of the feminine, while the feminine mind gains courage and strength through masculine qualities. These different elements conjoin naturally with each other, and their true harmony is in spiritual oneness. Both sexes should be loving, pure, tender, and strong. The attraction between native qualities will be perpetual only as it is pure and true, bringing sweet seasons of renewal like the returning spring. Fulfilling the different demands of their united spheres, their sympathy should blend in sweet confidence and cheer, each partner sustaining the other, thus hallowing the union of interests and affections in which the heart finds peace and home. Marriage is unblessed or blessed according to the disappointments it involves or the hopes it fulfills. To happify existence by constant intercourse with those adapted to elevate it should be the motive of society. Unity of spirit gives new pinions to joy, or else joy's drooping wings trail in dust. The nuptial vow should never be annulled, so long as its moral obligations are kept intact. But the frequency of divorce shows that the sacredness of this relationship is losing its influence, and that fatal mistakes are undermining its foundations. Separation never should take place, and it never would, if both husband and wife were genuine Christian scientists. Science inevitably lifts one's being higher in the scale of harmony and happiness. If the foundations of human affection are consistent with progress, they will be strong and enduring. Divorces should warn the age of some fundamental error in the marriage state. The union of the sexes suffers fearful discord. To gain Christian Science and its harmony, life should be more metaphysically regarded. Tender words and unselfish care in what promotes the welfare and happiness of your wife will prove more salutary in prolonging her health and smiles than stolid indifference and jealousy. Husbands, hear this, and remember how slight a word or deed may renew the old trysting times. The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. Marriage should signify a union of heart. Furthermore, the time cometh of which Jesus spake, when he declared that in the resurrection there should be no more marrying nor giving in marriage, but man would be as the angels. Then shall soul rejoice in its own, in which passion has no part. Then white-robed purity will unite in one person masculine wisdom and feminine love, spiritual understanding, and perpetual peace. No longer to marry or to be given in marriage, neither closes man's continuity nor a sense of increasing number in God's infinite plan. Spiritually, to understand that there is but one Creator, God, unfolds all creation, confirms the Scriptures, brings the sweet assurance of no parting, no pain, and of man deathless and perfect and eternal.